I think there'll be a massive change around. I think Daryl Powell will get them in, give them a real good bollocking, a rollicking, and...
Bonjour, bonjour, or should I say, hello, hello. Welcome back to What Would Brian Bevans Say? I'm Robert London, and yes, it's time for Wyatt to venture across the channel to come up against the French resistance, and hopefully not at snail pace. So talking of slow and laborious, where are my two escargots? Firstly, listen very carefully, I shall say this only once. It's our very own René Atois, it's Sam Sankey.
Bonjour, mon ami.
And also, he may be boasting he's lost 2 stone in weight, but from what we can see, he's still our fallen Madonna with the big boobies. It's Dennis Waywell!
All right.
Now, we've never done this before, boys, have we? Straight after a game, hey? When our emotions are running high to record the pod. We should say it's Friday morning here in Sydney, and it's just turned 10 o'clock in the UK on Thursday night after the Wire game. Dennis, I understand we've had another delivery.
Oh, yes, we have. From our very own podcast sponsor, Tiger Gin, have kindly furnished us with another selection of Tiger Gin gins and a bonus vodka, which they do as well. So thank you very much to the sponsor. They're still miniatures. I'll just put that out there. I've just opened a gin, and that will obviously aid the rest of this podcast.
What flavours are they, Dennis?
There's a straight gin. There's a ruby gin. I thought I'd save that one for when we're playing somebody in ruby colours. Is there anyone playing in ruby? And the vodka is superior vodka. So that's good. Sam did say, I wish I could have a sponsor. And he wanted some like Kit Kat or chocolate bar. And he said, I want to stuff it in my lunchbox.
On to the Leeds review. The Warrington team was Ratchford, Charlie, Matautia, Wrench, Ashton, Widdop, Williams, Mulhern, Daryl Clark, Cooper, Curry and Holmes, and Davis at 13. Interchange bench was Philbin, Joshen Clark, Bullock, and Walker. There were no places for the promising prospects of Longstaff and Thulis. So are Warrington on pace to make the grand final? Or are we currently light years away? Here are the highlights.
So Curry, this could be the chance. Wrench break for it on the outside. And here is the break for Warrington. Ashton down the sideline. Ball inside. And in the blink of an eye, Warrington have got 80 metres to score. Gareth Widdop with a try.
Laying down to soak it all in. Before we
they're only 10 off their own line, and now they're looking to counter tackle. Oh, that was a strong high challenge. He could be in trouble. There could be trouble here for Leeds. That was a high shot.
It's a swinging arm, clenched fist. It makes direct contact with the head. You're off.
Till we were in the car. Oh, the glory of it.
Now here's Dwyer. He's got the runner here. And Tetovano crashes to the line. And Tetovano has levelled things up for Leeds. Two big, two strong at the line.
Light years away from you.
A huge 2 minutes coming in here as Williams makes a break. Can he find a pass? He does. And now they've got numbers. Holmes has got the winger on the outside. Charlie going for the corner. And Warrington Wolves have got sorry, there's Leeming's going to kick it behind. Could be a chance here for Hanley. He gets there. Leeds think they've scored. Hanley into the corner.
You could have been right there next to me.
Great risk, another acrobatic catch. Wow. Oh, that's high on Donaldson. And it's Ollie Holmes. And Ollie Holmes might find himself in a spot of honour. And the look on his face here says that he knows he may be about to leave the field.
Light years away from you.
The Bentley set from the field. Another six again here. Warrington's time is now. And they're moving it out wide. And they're going to score. Second try for Josh Chandling, 249th of his career, and again he strolls over without a hand laid on him.
Light years away from
here. Now is Wrench for short pass to Wrench. Wrench going for it, and Connor Wrench levels things up for Headingley. Wrenchford's pass, Wrench is in, and we are all level. Leeds 20, Warrington 20, but the Wolves with a kick to nudge themselves in front. This is a massive kick. The Warrington fans will tell us here. Ratchford to nudge Warrington in front against 12-man Leeds. Tasha kick. Here he comes, right footed, sent it on its way.
He's gone.
The reaction of the Warrington fans says it all.
Well, there we have it, boys. Final score, Leeds 20, Warrington 22. Now, I've written down all the highlights, but clearly we went on for 3.5 hours in the first podcast. So I thought we could probably summarise it a little bit, Sam, in saying that there was two things we predicted from the first week on the podcast that came to fruition. One is we're throwing the ball around. You know, Charlie saw a lot more ball. And secondly, a negative one, and that was we were a bit worried about the size of our pack. Now, both those things came to light, but thankfully, Leeds were reduced to 12 men. They played 65 minutes with 12 men, which probably topped it in our favour on the positivity rather than the negativity. Would you agree with that?
If it had been 13 against 13, I'm not convinced we'd have come away with the 2 points, especially when for 10 minutes they were down to 11 and we were struggling to score. But... so, well, actually, let's get the negative out of the way first. You look at the metres our forwards made. Cooper, once again, a valiant effort, 126 metres. Our next largest metre maker was Mulhern at 90, and then it really dropped off a cliff. Whereas for Leeds, Sutcliffe, 134, Rhys Martin over 100, Cam Smith over 100, Bentley, nil.
He was a bit of a thug, wasn't he, at Saints, and he's continuing to be a thug at the Rhinos by the looks
of reckless.
Things.
He's reckless.
OK, we'll run through the highlights very quickly then. 12th minute, after why I spend the opening 10 minutes unable to get out of their own half, they spread the ball quickly left. Connor Wrench, with a beautiful one-handed pass, sends Ashton away. He draws the fullback and puts the supporting Widdop in to score. Ratchford with his only miss of the afternoon, and it's 4-0. What do you make of that, Dennis? I mean, all of a sudden, we blood a youngster, we get a youngster out there, and straight away...
great pass. Super pass. Let's not mention it in Channel 4 commentary. Brilliant pass by Connor Wrench. Great start to the getting a, you know, first-team start. Go on, Sam, what do you think?
Even before the pass, he changed his feet very, very quickly, like almost from a standing start, and he got himself into that gap to give the pass. It was superb, superb play.
16th minute, Warrington spread the ball left again, which leads to a swinging arm from Leeds' new signing, James Bentley, taking Widdop's head off. He's red-carded by referee Kendall, and Leeds are set to play 64 minutes of footy with 12 men. Deserved sending off, Dennis. Nasty little bastard.
Well, yeah. It was just a bad head-eye tackle. I would have expected a red card. All this clenched fist business, I wouldn't really be bothered. I'd leave that to someone like who enjoys a bit of fisting, maybe.
Sam, not worth 4 games, mate, surely. I mean, Widdop gets up, plays on for the rest of the game. If he'd caught him properly on the, you know, right on the side of the chin and knocked him out, then yes, 4 games. But
yeah,
Widdop didn't make a meal of it. I mean, it was Bentley missed more than anything.
I am in favour of sending more players off for high tackles, but I would be in favour of, not necessarily with this one in particular, but giving someone two games with two games suspended, and then if he does anything again this year, he gets an extra penalty, an extra sanction. You know, the Australians used to do something similar, didn't they? If you did your third appearance in front of the...
Who the fucking hell's going to... Who is going to add all this up? Who's going to do this on the RFL? There's only about three people, weren't there?
Well, I'm good at spreadsheets. It's an Excel spreadsheet.
Ralph hasn't got time for this sort of thing.
21st minute, Leeds prop Tetovano is too big and too strong for the wide defensive line. Martin converts easily and it's 6-4 to Leeds. And then on the 26th minute, it's a repeat of 5 minutes ago. This time prop Pryor, enjoying his extra size in comparison to the Wolves forwards, forces the ball down over the line. Martin cannot miss again. And it's 12-4 to Leeds. I mean, here it was. Here's the example, Dennis, of extra size. Close to the line, if big sides get close to the line, we're going to struggle based on what we saw at Headingley.
Yeah, I mean... All right, Pryor is that. You know, I don't read too much into this game. I know we've got, you know, you broke it all down here, but it's the first proper game, isn't it? And I think, you know, there's going to be some mistakes. I think we saw that. And, you know, I think they didn't really get to grips with him. He got a bit lucky there, just breaking the tackle at the last second.
33rd minute, and as Sam said, Dwyer is sent off, so Leeds go down to 11 men. And then on the 38th minute, finally, Warrington make use of their extra two players on the pitch, and Holmes puts Charnley over unopposed. Ratchford converts, and we go in at the break 2 points down at 12-10. You said it last week on the podcast, Sam, that you thought possibly Charnley might be top of the try scoring, and there's his first one, with many more to come.
Yeah, I just feel, as I said last week, and I will trail one of my little rants in future. Just the difference between good and great. Charnley is a good player. It's just that we get caught up in this thing that they're either fantastic or they're shit. No, he's a good player. And if we give him ball, he will score. And I think this year, as we've already seen, he'll get more ball in attacking places.
Dennis, have another one of your miniatures. Have another one. I can see you getting a bit agitated there.
Well, I can just see him putting another picture up on the wall now, and it's going to be Charnley next, isn't it?
44th minute, Leeds refreshed after the break, chip to the corner, and Charnley, having strayed a little bit from his wing, is beaten to the ball by Handley. Martin bangs over from the touchline to give Leeds an 18-10 lead. It was almost as if, you know, Leeds have had to play all this time with 12 and 11 men, but they just had a cup of tea at half time, got the win back in the sails, and then started the second half the way they started the first, Sam.
Yeah, and in the last play leading up to that try, Dwyer came up back onto the pitch. So in effect, they had put the scoreline, the gap, exactly the same as it was when Dwyer was sent off. We just didn't make use of having two extra men on the pitch for that 10 minutes.
49th minute, this time it's a swinging arm from Holmes. Thankfully, our own Sherlock, it's not too high. And a bit like Moriarty, he escapes with only a 10 minute in the sin bin. From the resulting penalty, Leeds make it 20-10. At that point, Dennis, I thought, here we go again. I thought Kendall was going to give him the opportunity to try and even things up. And there it was. I thought, oh, here we go. 12 all.
What? What do you mean?
I should point out at this stage that Dennis is a little bit tired. He's driven down from the north. He's got decorating tomorrow. He's already schooled two miniatures. So we'll move on.
Sorry, Rob. He's working from home tomorrow. He's working
home. Yes, yeah. And it's going to get very windy. The internet might go off.
What decorating are you doing, Dennis? What are you wallpapering?
Painting. Wallpapering. Nobody wallpapers nowadays. Oh, goodness me. Do you think it was a valid... It should have got a red card, Holmes, Rob, or do you think yellow was enough?
Well, I live in the bourgeois left, you know, sort of bohemian area of Sydney, so I'm doing a lot of wallpapering, Dennis, I'll have you know. and a bit like my wallpaper, and it doesn't come down. So I think 10 minutes was good enough for Holmes rather than the full wall.
Oh, okay, very good. I was wondering where you were going with that.
Right, 65th minute with Wire back to 30 men. They have the ability to create an overlap, and Charnley strolls in for his second try. Ratchford tags over two superbly from the sideline, and it's 2016. Got a comment here now on Ratchford's goal kicking, Sam, because at the end of the day, it won us the game.
It did, and both his goal... Well, actually, not just his goal kicking, his all-round play seemed very assured, didn't it? He seems confident, he seems comfortable with what's going on, not panicked, which we know he is prone to do from now and again. He just seemed very calm. I'm just to take it in my stride, and as you say, kicked from the sidelines. Ultimately, that was a difference.
74th minute with Leeds out on their feet. Wire moved the ball left. A dubious possible forward pass from Ratchford sends a determined and straight running wrench in to score. Ratchford holds his nerve and Warrington have the victory. 20-22. There he is again, our young man, Dennis, running a straight line.
Yep.
Didn't play against Cass tonight, but belting little fine by the looks of things.
I think, I've remained open-minded about some of these younger players until they get a run in the first team. And considering that, you know, it's come from nowhere and it's his first outing, I thought he did really well. I thought, you know, so he started the game off for us well and he finished it. So you can't ask for more than that.
This time last year, I did say on the podcast, I hadn't seen him, but I was told that Wrench, they had very high hopes for, and that in the bleep tests, he was quickest man at the club. Mm. Now, we've not seen him in open space yet, but certainly over 10 metres, he looks rapid, doesn't he? He explodes onto the ball when he's on the two or three occasions we've seen him.
Daryl Powell said, Leeds were the better team, to be honest. They played the ball way too quick for us and ran harder than us. I don't think we were great, but we were able to reel them in when it mattered. Isn't it nice to have a coach at the end of the game that's not talking in convoluted sentences or gobbledygook? I mean, just saying it the way it is, openly and honestly, Dennis.
How did he say it?
Leeds are a little bit of a bad team, to be honest. Just like that. They played the ball way too quickly for us and they ran harder than us too. I don't think, just like that, we were great. But we were able to reel them in when it mattered. Ha!
But I think that sums it up, yeah. It doesn't need me to say anything, does it?
T.Y. Crop wrote in, we need a prop whilst Hill was here. We need two once he left. Not a player who couldn't get near our injured, ravaged Wigan pack. I think he's referring to Bullock. Pat got battered by the team with 12 men on Saturday and would continually get battered. No go forward and you're reliant on off-the-cuff plays. Bit hard to know where we stand at the moment. I mean, we'll move on to the Cass game, but have Leeds got a better pack than Cass, Sam?
Yes, I think they have, undoubtedly. And when we come on to the Cass game, I'm going to give a little bit of a few statistics from tonight where I think our pack is struggling.
Mm. What colour paint are you using, Dennis? What have you gone for?
Hague blue.
Oh, is that Dulux?
No.
Who's the paint from? I'm just trying to get us another sponsor for Sam.
It'd be one of these chalk paints or like the rooms and brown or one of these 40 quid for 2.5 litre jobs.
I wish.
Jason Hayes, forwards will be the downfall of Wire this year. The hole left by Hill hasn't been filled.
I'll be filling tomorrow before a paint. Yeah,
it's all about prep. Decorating's all
exactly.
about prep.
Yeah,
yeah. If you
absolutely.
Prep right, it's a lot easier job when you get to the end of it, I always find.
Who's filling in for Hill then? Who? Because, you know, so far, I've got Mulhern written down here and Philbin. I'm starting to think Mulhern is filling in for Hill.
Mulhern looks like he's really trying. I'm not sure, though, if it's the hair. You know, he's got that hair that every time he gets smashed, it all goes up in the air.
I like that.
If I was a prop and I was trying to make my way through the game, I'd definitely grow my hair long because it gives you that look, doesn't it? When you,
yeah, another couple of inches higher, which you need, by the way, because you're not quite 6 foot, are you?
How dare you? Andrew Lowe, daylight robbery, but I'll take it. Was it daylight robbery, Sam? Was it
it probably was a bit, wasn't it? Arm robbery, what was it? I mean,
I think we got lucky. In the end, we scored some very good tries, but undoubtedly, that mind you, you say we were lucky. We weren't lucky. Bentley was a thug, so it was his own fault. It wasn't bad luck that he smacked Wid around the head, was it?
Here's a bit of positivity, because we've had a letter in from Billy. He's a Featherstone fan. He's not very good on punctuation, but he's making a point. He's on regards James Harrison. He says he has great power and his defence is amazing. Powell been after him for years whilst he was at Cass, which the club rejected the offer. You've got yourself a great player there if he gets over his injuries. Sort of paraphrase that a bit, but
you have paraphrased that because he's not a single full stop through this whole thing, is he?
or capital,
or comma.
Well, perhaps we'll leave the final review to 108-year-old Alan London, who's thankfully back on his feet.
I thought we were just a little bit lucky, but having said that, if we hadn't done some stupid things. At one time, I thought I was watching American football match, the way we were throwing it forwards, passing forwards, about 2 yards at a time. And then we'd kick for touch and we miss it from a free kick. And then, I don't know. But the pack got overrun. The number of times we spent in our own 20-metre line. I tell you who I thought was the best prop in the first half, and that was Volkholm. We've got some good backs. I mean, this kind of wrench, if he learned to pass a ball, why don't they have them playing tuck and pass? When I was young, we played tuck and pass every night. But, I mean, it was a lovely try, the first one we got. He opened it up beautifully, kind of wrench, and they just played it perfectly. But the second half, when it was wide open, he threw it into touch. But somehow, we won. I think it was a forward pass, mind you, we scored off. That pack's not going to win as much. And we've got no reserves. I watched Chris Hill tonight playing for Huddersfield. He's infinitely better than Bullock. He does a lot more work. We certainly need another couple of big forwards. Don't know where we're going to get them from.
Right, let's move on to the Castleford game. The team was Ratchford, Charlie, Metautier. King came in for Wrench. Ashton, Widdop, Williams. Philbin, Walker and Mulhern. Cooper missing due to an illness. Curry and Longstaff in the second row. Jason Clark at 13. Interchange bench was Hughes, according to Radio BBC Merseyside, Bollock, Davis and Josh Thulis. So, could Wyre fend off the challenge of Cass? Here's the highlights.
Waiting for Wizzy Rascal to deliver the ball. Oh, hang on a minute. We're off again. Their own try line. Last tackle coming up, and O'Brien. They're going to run it on. It's snapped up, and Ashton. Ashton picks that pass off. He is gone. Matty Ashton disappears into the distance, and Casper Tigers are absolutely done. This fight's on the beat. The busy's round. Ratchford stepping in. Wid have a little burst of pace and a bounce pace and bounce off the first. Gets the pass away. And a lovely try from the Warrington Wolves. A lovely try. Embarrass yourself for someone. Crying like a child. Here is O'Brien. O'Brien, puff of the cheeks. Gets the ball to Truman. Truman, Evels. And it's on to Alphonse. And Alphonse flies.
That's the thing. It lingers.
Warrington looking to respond to that try from Darrell Olfert. And they might do now as the ball reaches Charlie. Charlie skips in field. Charlie gets his 250th of his career. I was far too scared to hit him, but I would hit him in. Former teammates progress. Here is Williams now. Williams. Short pass to Mulhern.
Outside flanks to do some work, and there we go.
Metautier will capitalise on that error and get a try. The ball with Gareth O'Brien. O'Brien into a bit of space in front of those posts. The ball is picked off by Truman, and the referee, I think, will award it. Williams, will he dribble a little kick in? No, he'll dig one over the top, and Charlie will get his second. Absolutely audacious from Charlie. He picked the cut of a tiger's pocket with that one.
There's always the joker.
Well, a very easy night in the end, boys, I have to say. I mean, it was just very easy. Final score, 34-10. We got off to a great start. 5th minute, Castleford attacking the wire line. Throw the ball right. Ashton intercepts and goes the length. Ratchford converts from under the sticks and was 6-0. A little bit worried in those first few minutes, Sam. We thought, oh, here we go again. It's Leeds all over again, perhaps.
Yes, yeah. And I'm going to take you forward a couple of minutes again. I was worried that we were not making any metres at all coming off our line. And that was the same throughout the whole game. When we're in the middle of the pitch, the forwards have got a little bit more space. They're making some yards because they've got a little bit of pace and a little bit of agility about them. But I wrote down how many yards we made. Set 1, 18 metres. Set 2, 34. Set 3, 26. Set 4, we got a penalty on the fourth tackle, but we'd only made 18 metres up to then. And set 5, 38 metres. That's up to where we put the kick in. That's an average of 29 metres. Castleford, on the other hand, 44, 32, 45, 47, 44, 40 off four tackles. They made an average of 42. They were eating up the metres. We were not clearing our lines. But, the opportunist try from Ashton, who read the play very well, went the length of the field. And then, on our last set that I talked about then, we got a penalty. The penalty got us up the field. And as you're probably about to say, Williams then went in for a try.
Yeah.
And suddenly, from being under the pump, after 12 minutes or so, we're 12-0 up.
Yeah, I mean, Williams ran a lovely line there. Widdop sort of runs out of space on the left and comes back inside. And there's Williams running a straight line. You been impressed with Williams, Dennis? Showing a bit more this year than the end of last?
I think it's this game is probably starting to see some of the signs. So the first game, the one thing I thought in the first game was, even there was a lot of composure. I said that before Darryl Powell did, by the way, that to just come back and, you know, win. And there seems to be a relaxed sort of feeling around the way that they're playing. Williams and Widdop look to be playing a lot closer together, because last year it was like there was just a massive gap between them. And I think, you know, we're starting to see that. And I think in this game as well, is that we saw Williams and Widdop with a lot of the ball and working together. So I think it's definitely starting to work.
There seems, Dennis, to me to be, metaphorically, a smile on the faces, whereas the last two or three years, there seems to have been a weight on the shoulders. Now, it remains to be seen when we get to the business end of the season whether we feel that weight of expectation. But just in the two games we've seen, there seems a far more relaxed attitude.
Mm.
Not forcing things. Things are going to happen. We don't need to force it.
Yeah, it's funny. You two both have mentioned that. I've written it down as well. I just have this vibe that we seem happy, don't we? We just seem on the field. Yeah. We just, I don't know what it is, but it's just this feeling amongst them that they're all sort of enjoying themselves. And also, I think a big point on that Leeds game, he who shall not be named, would we have won that game in the second half? Would we have just panicked our way to the end?
I feel we'd have certainly maybe been panicking. Would have been... Yeah, well, in a way we did, because at the end of the day we didn't get ahead until 5 minutes to go. But you're right, we'd have tried to force it. It had got worse and worse. But maybe that is due to the two halfbacks that you've already mentioned, and the two halfbacks giving more attacking threat and more likely to promote the ball, because for all Austin would take the line on, the chances of him ever passing the ball were slim, whereas Williams will, Widdop will. That gives even more space to Ratchford, who it's only two games in. It is only two games in. Let's not get over carried away.
Mm.
Are we putting the cart before the horse?
Don't put the cart before the horse, but he's got loads of space at the minute and he seems to be revelling in it.
Mm-hmm. 44th minute, Castleford close to the Warrington line again. This time, put the ball safely through five sets of hands for Alfers to dive over one-handed in the corner. Kick is missed and it's 12-4. We conceded an early try in the second half against Leeds and we've done exactly the same here. So possibly something to take note of to see how we run for the rest of the year. 49th minute, Josh Charnley crosses for his third try of the season, sidestepping a lazy Castleford line. Ratchford misses the kick, and it's 16-4. Now, as we speak, Sammy's putting a frame picture up of Josh Charnley on his wall there.
There he goes.
Is he doing much more apart from catching balls and just walking over the line, though, Sam?
No, I think, again, it's only two games in, but the difference is the ball is going out to the wing and he's there like he's done all the way through his career. He's there to finish off the move. But he never went there for the last two seasons. So if it doesn't go to your winger, what's your winger doing? He's just a passenger.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Sam, because you're almost saying that he's a steady cart horse, never mind the cart before the horse. And at college, Dennis's footy was definitely known. He was definitely a steady cart horse. That's what he was known as. Yeah. Dennis Steady Cart Horse Waywell.
That's it.
So possibly we should add up how many of these tries Dennis Steady Cart Horse Waywell would have scored. Now, would we say that he would have scored both of them at Leeds? I think Dennis would have scored both of those, wouldn't he?
No, he'd have scored the second one because the second one he was unopposed. The first one he still had 20 metres to go for the line.
He'd make 20 metres before his angina kicks in. He'd be fine.
The first one tonight, he had to beat, so no, he wouldn't have scored.
Yeah, but look
that.
At the size of Dennis. He could have just pushed him over the line. Jesus.
Yes, I would have ran over him. What are you laughing at?
You'd have still been on our own 20-metre line when the plane was at their 20-metre line.
How dare you? Can we have fines?
Have another miniature, Dennis. Have another miniature. I'm putting down so far out of Charnley's four tries that Dennis would have scored three of them.
Thank you very much.
I think that's... we'll keep a tally on that this year, see what we can get to. 56 minute, would you believe it? Robbie Mulhern, a.k.a. Tom Selleck, with a magnum of a try, brushing off Liam Watts to rampage under the sticks. Ratchford cannot miss. 22-4. I think this was a classic sign of a player being happy. He's got a big smile on his face.
I'm thinking, actually, you should play the Magnum PI music every time he scores a try, because I like that music and we'll probably only ever hear it once.
Well, he had the little purple patch at Hull KR, didn't he, where he scored a few tries. One from inside his own half. And what was noticeable for me here was that his run-up, he ran onto the ball from 7 or 8 metres back. He didn't catch the ball with only a 2 metre. He was already at speed, which helped him break the line. Delighted, and you're right, it was a great try for a prop forward to score.
Did you hear Sam then? You can tell him when she's drunk.
I know, exactly, I was just thinking, why don't you get yourself another drink?
I've had one drink, that's it. I've only put one small bottle of beer.
I do apologise.
I mean, we can all join in on that, can't we, Rob?
Well, I think what we're going to do here now is you two need to go away and do a little bit of homework, because I think next pod we're going to have a Magnum quiz.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
Five questions, Magnum quiz.
Is it worth revising? Will it be a real one or will it be absolutely a Rob London made up one?
Yeah, how dare you? 61st minute, Castleford coming off their own 20 with a clusterfuck of a pass. Matautieri racks quickest by kicking the ball and chasing to touchdown. Ratchford finds his kicking boots to make it 28-4. He's quite a good find, this Matautier, I think, Dennis. He's hard to put down in the tackle. He makes a fair few yards coming off his own line. He managed to feign a penalty when he pretended to drop the ball, which he does a lot of as well. And he's got quite soft feet.
Powell's using him as a bit of an annoyance for the opposition, because nobody knows what he's going to do. I don't think there's an expectation that he's going to run and break the line. He's looking really just to sort of draw people all the time, isn't he, and sucker defence in and, like, you know, try and break out of it and then create something in that midfield. I think that's what it's all about. I think I have noticed on a couple of the comments that he does a lot of running sideways in field, and it's almost like crab. Yeah. Crabs. Can you remember the last Wire player with crabs? Who ran like a crab. Sorry. Was it... What's his name? Who did he used to call Crab? Remember? He went to Leeds.
My partner had a beautiful bit of angel pasta with crab yesterday on the harbour in Sydney. It was absolutely... And I have to say, I am, you know, being a vegan, I did have one mouthful. But
I thought you was about to say that she had crabs. That was
Oh!
Are you going to tell us a story when you had a mouthful of crabs, Rob?
Right, let's move on. 66 minute, a soft try. Truman catches the ball under the sticks after Longstaff palms the ball to him rather than catching it. O'Brien converts to make it 28-10. Longstaff didn't have the... Did he have... What kind of game did he...
He showed up. Let's not judge it on that, where he was like slightly interfered with as he was jumping up for it. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Nuts put weight on. I mean, we've got Matautia, who's christened himself the Peanut. What kind of nuts do you think Longstaff should eat to try and put a bit of weight on? What's
ginger.
Like...
What?
72nd minute, George Williams with a lofted Sam Wedge, and there's his caddy Charlie marking his card with another try. Ratchford from the sideline, boom, 34, oh, he's fucking hell, he's off again, 34-10. Straighten the picture up, it's askew on the wall there, Sam. You want to just straighten it up?
I would have scored that, because obviously I'm tall, I would have just, picked that up, just put it down.
Well, okay, then I'll change it, Dennis... Stedikartos Weah will have scored all of four of Josh Charlie's tries. So you're now top of the try scoring list.
Thank you very much. Tiger Gin. We're playing against Tigers. Nothing to do. Let's just make sure that we disassociate ourselves with Castleford Tigers, but associate ourselves with Tiger Gin.
We've got a watch list here that we came up with last week. We had three players on the watch list: Charlie, King, and Philbin. Now, I don't know if you've heard this, but there's a rumour going round that Warrington have started clamping cars on Tesco car park if you are attending the match and not popping into Tesco's for your evening meal. So we're going to change the watch list to the clamping list. Anyone coming off a clamp here, Sam? We've got Charlie King and... I know what you're going to say. Charlie King and Philbin. Who are you taking off the clamps?
I'm taking nobody off the clamps until at least... 10 games have gone, because it's only 2 games in. I've nailed my colours to the mast. If Charlie stays fit, he'll be near the top of the try scoring charts because he'll get enough ball. But we're only 2 games in, so let's keep everyone on the watch at this stage.
I'm still clamping Philbin, and I'm considering disconnecting the battery as well, to be honest. I think
it's just when you turn him away, innit? It's good to watch out for. King was on that watch list, was he not?
I think he's still on it.
Yeah.
First game back. We had a fullback debate. We put it out to the vote. Who should be our starting fullback at Headingley? We had Matty Ashton with 10%, Stephen Ratchford at 63%. And Josh Thulis at 27%. I think with what we've seen so far, Sam, after 2 games, if we put that vote out again, possibly on Monday, I think Ratch was going to have a higher lead.
Yes, yeah. We discussed it on the first pod of this season, didn't we? That we think that Josh has got all the attributes to replace Ratchford. It's just... exactly when he can do that. And Ashton at the minute, perfect on the wing. He scored tonight a long range try. When the game gets a bit older into the second half, he comes inside and sniffs around for any of those half breaks we make. So leave him on the left wing at the minute.
Okay, we've got a bit of a sweepstake going. Who will be displaced first? We've got three options: Boris, Stefan, or the Ukrainian government. And we'll see what happens there. The clear leader at the moment is Boris. Ukraine only coming in at 19%, Stefan at 23% and Boris at 57%. I wonder if that one will slide and change a bit, Dennis, over the next few weeks. Be interesting
I can't see the Ukrainian government going anywhere soon. Boris, he seems to be Teflon. It's going to be Stefan Ratchford, isn't it?
Well, I've got a couple of things of observations from the
Ukraine.
First couple of games.
Oh.
No, from the first couple of games. So, first of all, the home kit is a bloody mess.
Oh.
You know, bag of shite.
Oh,
yeah. Disappointed in that. The second thing, I've noticed Ben Curry holding the ball in one hand like Ali Lalatiti used to do. Is that how what his surname was? The big guy who used to play for Leeds and he used to hold it in one hand.
Oh, yeah.
In his right hand. Yeah. And the third bit of information for you is over the last 10 years, Warrington have only won their first two games on three occasions.
Oh.
In 2015, 2016, sorry, 2014, 2015. And if I can read my writing, 2019.
Oh.
So now that's four times in 11 years. So
do you
good
feel
start
so,
for
so
us.
Darryl Powell is only doing as well as Steve Price at this stage.
Do you feel the pressure's been sort of removed from your shoulders now, Sam? Because, you know, you're doing a new section with Sankey's rant. And tonight,
yes.
I think, have been your best statistics we've ever had. I mean, you're just
throwing
them out there.
Warrington are playing much better now. He's not got a season ticket. It's just an amazing transition.
That's all that means.
Do you know, tonight I had a nice relaxed run before. Then I had a shower. Then I had something to eat. Then I sat down to watch the game instead of getting home from work, rushing around going out.
Yeah.
And
You're looking well, Sam. You're looking well.
Yeah, I mean, I've not lost the weight that Dennis has, but I've lost half a stone.
Yeah, but he had a lot to lose, didn't he?
That's
the difference.
He did.
As a
they
fraction.
Always say it's the first two stone is the easiest, isn't it?
Let's look at it this way, Sam. At least we're losing weight, unlike that fat bastard.
How dare you.
And we should tell the listener that for a second week running, he's naked apart from a pair of... hang on. Oh, no, he's got shorts on, I think, rather than just briefs.
Okay, here's Daniel to give his opinion on Warrington's new style of play under the counselling of Darryl Powell.
So, in the early days of our new coach Darryl Powell, let's assess what changes, if any, there has been in Wyre's style of play. For me, the most notable change has been a willingness to get the ball out wide early to the wingers. Our edge players are seeing far more of the ball in broken field, and the ball is clearly being promoted a lot more. Further to this, we're seeing the forwards pass the ball more frequently, with the likes of Matt Davis, Ben Curry and Oliver Holmes notably involved in build-up play so far. This is all very positive. Wyre have shown some signs of being a more entertaining team to watch, particularly close to their own line actually. Something we've seen a lot more of is dummy runners, which was an alien concept under He Who Shall Not Be Named. There has been a continuation in certain tactics from Powell's predecessor though, perhaps most obviously the persistence of outside backs taking in the first three carries in the tackle count. While it gives the forwards a much needed rest, the players concerned, other than Peter Matautia, are bereft of size, so we aren't making much yardage early on in these sets. One of the most frequently relied upon strategies for the last four seasons has been a high kick from one of the halfbacks in the direction of one of the outside backs. This isn't something we've seen much of so far, mercifully, with a greater emphasis on moving the ball earlier on in the set. The kicking game in general has been very average at this early stage. So far, I'm yet to see much improvement in areas close to the opposition line. Players still taking too long to make decisions, and there have been some baffling ones at that. Not attacking David Fuzzy to his side when he was seeing stars for 10 minutes, chief among them. If there are two individual players who look to be beneficiaries of the changes in style, then they have been Stephen Ratchford and Josh Charnley. Ratchford is finding himself in more and more space and has already assisted a number of tries with cutout balls to wingers, and Charnley has been the happy recipient of these. It'll be fascinating to see how Wyatt's style develops as the season goes on.
Well, I think sort of Daniel summarised that superbly, and he's pretty much in line with what we're all saying, isn't he? I mean, nothing new there, really, from
Mr.
from
Positive.
Daniel's telling us. That's as positive as Daniel gets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, pretty good. Mike Cooper said, if we're just going with five drives and a kick, we're not going to take too much out of the defence. It will be a lot different this year. Not only will we run the ball hard and direct, we'll also be moving the ball around. I think we've really got the perfect mix right across the team. I agree entirely with what you're saying, because there's a hell of a lot of enthusiasm out there in what we're trying to do. And we've been talking about Mulhern, you know, his hair bobbing around. Bullock tried tonight as well. So I do think there's a lot of determination there, Sam. And also we are moving the ball about. But what I think is the sentence that's missing in there is we need to make yards up the middle. It's all very well having enthusiasm and throwing the ball around, but if you've not got the weight and the size of the pack, you're going to come unstuck at some point.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I've already alluded to it. And we haven't got access to their GPSs to see what happens when they do the review tomorrow and all that. But it appears that when we're in the middle of the field, the props or the forwards are able to make a few yards, but they do seem to be struggling to go forward coming off our own line. That's just plain Leeds and Castleford. We've got what should be a relatively easy game next week, but then we've got two big tests after that.
Yeah.
And I think after watching those two games, we'll really know what we're all about.
Well, we've got round one results here. We're sort of recording this, as we said, on the Thursday night in the UK, so no one else has played yet. But round one results were Saints 28, Catalans 8, Hull KR 10, Wigan 24, Castleford 16, Salford 26. Akawala played 39 minutes. Toulouse, or as we're now calling them, Toulouse 14, Huddersfield 42, and Wakefield 12, Hull 16. Can't really take that much from those, can we, Dennis? It's not really, apart from Saints looking shit hot. Hull KR and Wigan was pretty boring. I fell asleep. Castleford, we know, have got problems. Toulouse, not the real deal. Is it Huddersfield that's the one that looks the best out of that lot? You know, possibly promising signs.
I watched most of that Toulouse-Huddersfield game. Toulouse have had huge issues losing their two-star players a couple of weeks before.
So where have they gone to? Have they just gone back to, you know, ploughing fields and doing other things?
Ford said, I'm not getting the vaccine.
Yeah. But where have they gone to? Can they play another sport? Can they go to union, or what are they doing?
He can't play in France. That's the issue.
So we might pick one up.
It's not whether he wants to play or not. If you're not double jabbed in France, you can't play. Unless you've got a medical
exemption. They're going to Como.
And the centre... and the centre is probably going to end up playing. But I watched that game, and until just before half-time, you know, it was fairly even, Stephen. Toulouse scored a couple of decent tries. Huddersfield didn't look that great shake. See, it's just the second half they ran away with it. The big standout for me is, will Radford still be in a job by Easter?
You know, he comes on this, even though I was in bed this morning, I mean, it was quite early. It was a bit of morning glory going on.
And was it Radford, after your phone call at 2:40?
Some prick rang me at 2:39 a.m. Jesus. Didn't you, Dennis? Hey?
Yeah. I was woke up the house. The call.
I didn't hear it.
Can we just make it clear that it wasn't 2 o'clock in the morning for Dennis? It was a reasonable time for Dennis to be making a phone call.
I asked him if the hour had changed.
Talking of which, I got a nice message from Daryl Powell with a thumbs up. Now, he sent it at about, I would say it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon after the Leeds game. And I'm thinking he's on the coach. Now, you've heard of Diesel Dick. There's a possible... Diesel Dick.
No, I haven't really.
Have you never heard of Diesel Dick?
Never.
It's a bit like
that.
When a woman sits on top of a washing machine. If a man is driving along with a diesel engine, the beat
I don't think
of
you
the
need
engine.
To go any, you okay. do not need to go any further.
It can stimulate the genitals.
I've got a picture of that.
I'm just thinking that possibly if Powell sent me that text under Diesel Dick, he was semi erect.
Mm. I think if you listen to this, he won't be sending you another text.
The RFL is to investigate whether a party took place at the Halliwell Jones during lockdown. After rumours surfaced, 30 family-sized pizzas... 2 dozen packets of crisps and a large cake were delivered to their offices one evening. A spokesman assured the press no such large gathering had taken place. It was simply Professor Broomhead working back late. Following an audit into the UK hospitality industry, the reporters questioned the extortionate costs at several well-known establishments. A gin sling at the Savoy cost £24, a high tea at the Ritz retailed at £60, and a steak at the Dorchester a staggering £75. However, all three hotels hit out, saying their prices were reasonable in comparison to an afternoon at Warrington's 4020 Lounge. And finally, following the success of Channel 4's coverage of Rugby League, it is expected that numerous Rugby League players will be invited onto Countdown. The producers of the show reported a trial pilot episode had resulted in one player making a three-letter score and, with the use of a calculator, coming within 700 during the numbers round.
Well, there's the headlines. Let's go on to the stories. Olivier Holmes' appeal against his one-match ban was rejected by the Operational Rules Tribunal. The appeal was deemed frivolous and a further game was added to Holmes' suspension. He will now also miss the trip to France. The frivolities and the frivolousness of appealing at a disciplinary panel, Dennis.
What's the point? What is the point of having an appeals process here? Why don't we just sort of like accept it and just move on? Do you not think?
I don't know why that's a one-match ban in the first. I really think you are setting it out here that you're going to have to be consistent. As Sam said, if we suddenly start doing it after 6 rounds, it's all going to look a bit weird.
Yeah, but what's your defence in these things? Because, like, you know, usually contact has been made, and unless you've completely missed them, you know, how would you judge the severity of a contact? You know, whether it be on video or this, that, and the other, you just got to.
Or maybe it was a free hit because he wouldn't be playing in France anyway because he's not had his vaccine and wouldn't have been allowed in.
Oh. Sam there, like inside it. Knowledge.
Can I give you a piece of advice, Sam? Never defend yourself in court. Okay, isn't that right, Dennis? Isn't that right?
Correct. Absolutely. Nothing to do with
it. Do we need to go down that on the tackle bags one?
Oh, we do. We definitely do. We definitely. He thought he was Rumpole. He honestly thought he was Rumpole. Unbelievable. Warrington have received a new ground safety certificate, increasing their stadium matchday capacity to 15,300. The current record for a crowd at the Halliwell Jones is 15,008, achieved for a game between Wyatt and Widnes on Good Friday in 2016. Are they going to fill it, Sam? Is there any, what was the point of increasing it? It's not going to happen, is it, unless
Sam
Blue come and play at Halliwell Jones?
The only chance of them filling it is if they play Wigan or St Helens, not on the TV on a Sunday afternoon.
Channel 4's coverage kicked off with good viewing figures. Viewers' numbers range from an average of about 500,000 to a peak of 750,000. The programme was followed by Guy Martin's War Machines. They did peak, they added about an extra 200,000 on when people were getting ready for the show. What do we make of it, boys? Did we think the coverage was pretty good?
Yeah, it was fresh. There was still a bit of a few mistakes, but it was fresh. It was a pleasure not to have to listen to the same voices. And was that an impression of Jamie Jones Buchanan, was it?
How dare you say I was doing an impression.
I thought it was Roy Hattersley.
I showed you this trail.
Can I just say that Adam No Thrills Hills was quite weak.
Bit stiff, wasn't he?
First game.
Give him 10 games. Well, that's all they've got. And after 10 games, they'll say, fuck off, probably. I mean, if you put it into contrast with Sky Sports, I think it looked good.
Carney's better. Carney's a better presenter than Hill. Hills was a bit stiff. He was struggling without an auto cue. Where's he got that coat from? Fucking hell, my dad's in better fashion than that coat. Sorry. We should actually point out that Mrs. London Senior is very annoyed with Sam that he gave her Christian name away on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
In the first episode. So.
I must apologise, Mrs. London Senior. I can drop some flowers off if you like, yes. Would you think that would help? Chocolates does she like?
She'll eat anything, your mother.
Okay.
So, don't forget, put Hazel's name on the card as well.
And it's Move Over Channel 4 as the Wolves launch Wire TV. The service can be viewed worldwide, with viewers having the option to subscribe daily at £1.99, monthly at £5.99, or annually at £69.99. For your money, you'll receive exclusive behind-the-scenes content, but more importantly, streaming of all Warrington games from the Monday onwards following the completion of each Super League round. I mean, I think the £1.99 is pretty good. If you've the odd game you can miss and do a bit of a likely lads and avoid the result. Yes.
I spent 5 minutes working out what was the best monetary option, and then I saw it was, I could watch it 3 days later. 3 days later, I thought, fuck it, not bothered.
Yeah. 69 quid. I mean, I already see enough of their shit on Instagram. I don't want to see any behind the scenes content, do
I? I'll just wait for you to send it to me anyway, Rob.
I think I had a bit of a go at the 40-20 lounge last week, and I stand by that. But unless you're going to do an illegal download, which of course nobody does, if you're going to do it legitimately, then that, and you're living, shall we say, in Dubai or in
a legitimate
Sydney,
illegal download. I like that, Sam. Well, what you got out of that way?
Then, then it's not. It's a reasonable price, that, isn't it? It's priced correctly for a year. If you are a mad Warrington Wolves fan who does nothing but watch Warrington Wolves on the TV,
have you got it, Sam?
No.
Have you got it?
Forget the statistics. Sam can't be asked. It's time for Sankey's rant. Get your gammon here. Sankey's rant. It's gammon overload. Certain to make a woman drier than Gandhi's flip-flops. I said Sankey's rant. 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 Sankey's rant.
Please, 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 referees, make the players play the frigging ball. Last week against Leeds, the first try, Warrington, Matt Davis steps clearly over the ball. Try two, the Leeds play the smallest of movements of his leg towards the ball. Try three, ditto. Try four, Bullock. I think it was Bullock.
Played it with his bollock.
Clearly over the ball.
Oh.
With his bollock, getting his bollocks out of the way. Try five, Leeds again. Clearly step over the ball at the play of the ball before the try scored. Try six, Mulhern just rolls it through his legs. Try seven, Holmes just clearly rolls it through. I'm pissed off because supposedly 3 years ago the referees were going to clamp down on this and make sure that the players at the very least made an attempt to play the ball. They don't make an attempt to play the ball. The only players who make an attempt to play the ball are the ones who were playing in the NRL last year, where they've got to play the ball. And when it comes to the World Cup this year, we've got to play the ball, because they're the rules. If we perhaps ask Alan London exactly what he thinks of how the ball should be played, the rules haven't changed, we're just choosing not to enforce them. But tonight, after 26 minutes, Matt Davis is penalised at the play the ball, not for not playing it correctly, but for pushing a man a bit out of the way.
That was ridiculous.
Bloody hell.
Ridiculous.
And straight after that, I watched the next 10 play the balls that you could actually see. Seven of them was just clearly a step over, just as if you're playing touch rugby, and only three of them were played. Do you know, gets right on my tits. And, as an extra little one, when is a penalty not a frigging penalty? McShane comes in 5 seconds late on Matautia as he's trying to get to his feet. The referee waves six again. It's a clear penalty. It's right in front of the post.
Dennis,
with 12 nil
up. Take his blood pressure. Take his blood pressure.
And, with 12 nil up. And it should have been 14
Sam Sankey asked the referee to just check the pack. Touching ball.
Frigging rules
are. Touching ball.
Rant over.
I want to take you to a free bar. Free bar. Free bar. Let's start a war. Start a Warrington war. At the free bar. Free bar. Free bar. Wah-ah-ah.
Okay, it's time for the free bar. We've had some great letters in this week, lads, and I've tried to pick a few from around the world rather than just sort of go down that path of north and south of the river. The first email's come in from Victor Values, living in Ibiza. He writes, I would like to complain about Channel 4's coverage during the Leeds-Warrington game and the half-time analysis offered up by Leon Price. The coverage to this point had been excellent, but Leon's foul use of the English language by dropping the word bollocking left a bad taste in my mouth. Although I expect Richie Myler's groin injury left a worse taste in hell. Oh, let's stop that one now. Who's vetting these? Who's vetting? Thank you. I thought you were vetting these letters. Magnus Magnuscum from Lim. You may or may not be aware of the psychological strategy known as the dead cat strategy. The introduction of a dramatic, shocking, or sensational topic to divert discourse away from a more damaging topic. Boris Johnson attempted to use the dead cat strategy recently by diverting away from his disregard of lockdown rules by bringing up Jimmy Savile. Therefore, were Warrington supporters that were shouting from the rooftops about the lack of a big prop, thrown a dead cat or even a dead wolf in the form of Carl Fitzpatrick's NFT launch?
No, dear. Well, not really a lot to say about that. Have you finished?
Well, he's actually gone. He says, on another note, I own a pet cat. I line his litter tray, with Callum Walker articles from Serious About Rugby League. Even before my cat takes a dump in the litter tray, it's already full of shit.
Clickbait.
Jesus. Sarah Cooks from Guernsey. I'm a big fan of the book club, so I'm really enjoying Dennis's rebadged section.
Oh, it's not rebadged.
New section.
New section.
I expect most of the players following the brain explosions during the Leeds game don't have much of an attention span. So may I suggest as their next book to read either The Very Hungry Caterpillar or The Argos Catalogue?
Oh, well, that's going to make it quite easy, isn't it, for the next one?
Is it only me that gets flashbacks occasionally of that bloke who was all greased up in The Argos Catalogue with the bull worker? Do you remember him?
You know what? There he is, just flicking the pages.
Just me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just me. Frank Slammer from Acker's Pit. I'd like to say I've just returned from a skiing holiday in Switzerland, but instead, following an accident on a blue run after I collided with a St. Bernard, I find myself in Vevey Hospital with my leg in traction from my toes to my balls. One blessing in the hospital, it's close to the French border, so I should easily be able to watch the Toulouse match on French television. However, I'm sharing a room with a Belgian snowboarder that watches nothing but Gérard Depardieu films. Anyway, he's been discharged on Thursday, so nothing stands in my way, apart from a small procedure I'm undertaking on Friday to have a miniature brandy barrel removed from my anus. Sherlock Minecraft from Pimlico, London. Why is the podcast and the Warrington Club trying to obtain an income through pushing Patreon.com or NFTs?
Steady.
I already subscribe to the Reader's Digest and give generously to the Avon lady. Regardless of whether I give money or not, I will still listen to the podcast and why I still have my backing to make it to the Theatre of Dreams. I'd like to add, having worked in the theatre for over 40 years, I've ventured down more than one trap hole. But I'm not sinking my teeth into your dark tunnel of a scam or the club's financial glory hole. Sam, you got anything on that, Sam? Just shake. Sam, you still with us?
Still. I'm still with you.
Only just.
Lionel Twitchin of Cape Verde. I was intrigued to hear that Coach Darryl Powell has asked the players to read the book Legacy by Jim Kerr, a book that depicts the All Blacks rugby union team as the world's most successful sporting side. I've always thought the Kiwis' performance of the Haka before every game was the secret to their success. Perhaps later this year at the Rugby League World Cup, England could perform a Morris dance.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
We could even introduce something similar at the Halliwell Jones. Maybe a Mr. Smith's light show with Ellis Robson dancing on a podium, wearing only a G-string with a pair of Joe Philbin socks stuffed down the front. If all else fails, just invite Bez along to shake his maracas, as the daft cunt's clearly desperate for money.
Can I just say that you are venturing into tackle books territory with that, aren't you?
Derek Hotpole from Appleton.
How many of these have you got?
I've got loads.
The doubles. He's written 10 minutes down for this section.
I know.
Just so we can read out.
Three more to go, lads. Derek Hotpole of Appleton Thorn. The double standards employed by the Greek authorities never cease to amaze me. Whilst on holiday in Corfu, I witnessed many young women sunbathing topless in full view of everyone. Some of which wore bikini bottoms that barely covered their buttocks. The local Greek police did nothing about it. However, on the very same beach, I was arrested for masturbating behind the privacy of my own Warrington Wolves beach towel. Jesus. Lord Melbury from Busey. Following on from your discussion about the new Warrington jersey, I'd like to inform you I recently purchased an adult Wolves away top with long sleeves. Didn't know you could get one with long sleeves. I wore it out in town, but unfortunately after 8 pints and a vindaloo at Lalkeela's on Orford Lane, I had a lavatory wiping mishap, which resulted in quite a large amount of excrement becoming smeared on the cuff. The shirt was unwearable, yet when I took it back to the club shop for a replacement, they didn't want to know me. So much for their customer service.
It wouldn't be free bar with you deciding to find a letter that was to do with a shitting themselves incident.
And finally, Marcus Evergreens III from Lower Pever. Dear What Would Brian Bevan Say? I have a question, but please be aware of the sensitivity behind my query. I am struggling to comprehend the inclusion of Jamie Jones Buchanan as a Sky pundit. I do not mean to criticise his accent, also known as pervasive linguistic prejudices, or for that matter, intrude on the speech pathology behind Mr. Jones Buchanan's elocution, as his dictation may be hindered. But, and here goes, what the fuck?
What, is that him saying it, or Jamie Jones Buchanan saying it?
Oh. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You want to go where people know people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows.
What an excellent idea to hold a Greek night. Landlord Stevie thought Greece was an opportunity to dress up like John Travolta.
Not like that, just like this. This year, old thing, I'm doing things differently. I'm embracing the players' Hellenius culture.
Ironically, that fits in with Landlord Stevie. He completely lost his Elgin marbles. Anyway, do you think we're all having to dress up like this, Daryl, is a step too far? Oh, this toga I'm wearing leaves nothing to the imagination. It's tighter than a new Sky Sports Super League deal.
I know what you're saying, Ralphie. Professor Broomhead needed that much cloth. They've rewritten Star Mill. And by the looks of his crotch, Ralphie, he's excited to be here.
No, Gazza. That's just the Sky Sports spinning Jenner caught in the lining. And what have you come attired in, Landlord Darrell?
Just like that. Not like that. I've come dressed as the Colossus of Rhodes, Ralphie. Although some would say it's just a fable of Greek mythology. And he's never actually existed.
Oh, was he related to Jack Cures by any chance? Now, where has the star of the evening, Billy Magoulas, got to? Did you send him an invitation?
I got Danny De Niro Walker to write him. He even used the Greek alphabet.
Let me look at that. Why, that's not Greek alphabet, Daryl. That's some illiterate witness symbols written in crayon.
I'm sorry about that, Ralphie. I was too busy knocking up a Lesbos feta salad. I have to say, though, Ralphie, it just doesn't taste right. Those overpriced thick cheese cubes have split in halves.
Well, that's no way to talk about Widdop and Williams. Oh, excellent. How has the plate smashing started?
No. That's just Wade and Matty Davis. He's dropping another masaka.
Oh, dear. That's our finest Westwood Wedgwood crockery with primrose and blue sausage baguettes patterned inlay.
Oh, goodness gracious me. That's Marquee Bone China, Ralphie. Known to break easier than a Jason Clark tackle. His new contract has turned out to be all right.
Can't. Oh, we really do need to get that jukebox fixed. Oh, look. Billy Magoulas has arrived with his magnificent pair of shiny olives.
Hello, Pips. Is it okay, Pips, if I tie my chariot up to Maximilius Lomax's sports car? I'm worried my big fat hairy ass might shit all over his bonnet.
Hey, less of that talk, Mr. Magoulas. You might get away with that in the NRL, but not here on my watch.
Daryl, I do think he was referring to his donkey.
Talking of mules, Ralphie, I'll have Mule Hearn head out of cocktails.
Oh, yes, cocktails. Oh, now, Daryl, would you happen to have some of that Greek liqueur that I like in the cellar? It's called Chios Moschita.
Hang on a second, Ralphie. Just like that, I'll check with the cellar man, Cooper the Cooper.
Ooh, is it time to change the barrel, Daryl?
We need to mix the strong stuff, Coops. Ralph's on an Aurifil cocktail bender.
Oh, well, get him on side. That's stronger than a Hitman and Hers dancer's codpiece. Ooh, I say, landlord. What a wonderful combination. I wonder if I could trouble you for the ingredients.
Oh, yes. It's 50% ouzo and 50% Vladivol vodka.
Oh, you know what, Daryl? I thought I could taste the good old days. You know, there's a slightest chance that your combinations might be onto a winner.
Wait a minute, Ralphie. That's not a cocktail. That's Peter Matauti Moustache's latest urine sample.
Oh, tackle sacks.
Well, I feel this show, about 14% of it was the highlight.
14?
Not 14.
14.
14, 1-4. There was a, 14% of it really hit home. That was the first 60 seconds of a 7-minute recording, which was theme tune. You know, I really enjoyed that. And as we got on to... As we got onto the Greek now, I was generally disappointed that in true Mamma Mia style, we didn't have Glenn Close or Pierce Brosnan visiting
very,
the bar.
Very stereotypical if we'd done that.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah, but it would have been. But I'm waiting to hear what this actual record is on the jukebox. I suspect I'll never get to to hear what it is. And is it time to change the barrel, Daryl? Are you hoping that'll catch on a bit like Heidi High?
He's onto it, isn't he?
He is, isn't he? He's all over it. All over it.
He's very good. I've had a bit of a problem. I've lost half of my tackle book section.
Hooray!
I have genuinely lost half of it. So I've cobbled...
I should mean it's only 17 minutes, Rob. 17
no,
minutes rather
you know
than 34.
I have to apologise for everyone out listening to the podcast that last week's recording of Dennis's tackle books, which went for 27 minutes, will not be happening again. Following a disciplinary panel hearing this week, Dennis was found guilty. Thank you.
But... I actually had it down to about 10 minutes, but it's going to be about 5 now.
Oh, good.
I'd write every cloud. I know, I had a fuck up with my computer. However, I've cobbled what I could remember of it together. By the way, before I do get into that, are we sending the book off to any of the Patreon people? You know, from last week, the legacy one. Rob, I'm talking to you.
Oh, yes, we are. I've not done the draw for that. I'll do it now, and we'll come to that towards the end. Okay. You can carry on.
Oh, I thought you were doing the draw. I was waiting for a drum roll. Okay, so this week, or last time, on Tackle Books, we looked at how Daryl Powell is using the power of literature. In this case, it was Legacy by James Kerr. To inspire the players to win and create this new culture with the players. So this week on Tackle Box, now he's addressed the players, we're going to delve into what Daryl can do now to influence the crowd. And it's often said that a home crowd could be worth much, as much as 8 points home advantage in rugby league. And along with influencing the referee decisions, a vocal crowd can create a momentum of anxiety within a rugby match. So how can we tap into this power of the crowd, I hear you ask?
How can we tap into the power of this crowd, Dennis?
Well, we can tap into it by looking and following this other book that I've studied. And by looking at this crowd dynamic, we can see how we can actually influence what goes on the pitch. So the book in question, which I haven't actually got with me here, which is another one of the things I've had a problem with, it's called The Crowd, A Study of the Popular Mind by Gustave Le Bon. So a bit of a French theme there.
I think at this point, Dennis, every week your book should be delivered to you by some little kid on a bike, on a little car, battery operated car.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. What a good idea! Yeah. Why has no one thought about doing that before?
Hold on.
What could go wrong
Are
with
you
that?
You suggesting he might drive past and not deliver it at all? Right? Yeah. Fuck off. Anyway, let's delve into this book. Page 14 first. A crowd has a general characteristics of excessive suggestibility and as a rule is in a state of expectation. So this is an important point that, you know, when you go to a match, that's, you know, you've got this expectation and everything, but you're easily suggestible. Okay, page 23. An orator wishing to move a crowd must make an abusive use of violent affirmations to exaggerate, to affirm, and to resort to repetitions to get a message to the crowd. So they're suggestible, and you need somebody who's going to actually make suggestions that creates a momentum within the crowd, and the crowd all join in unison. So in this book, he talks about how in the crowd, no matter what status you are, whether you're highly educated and intellectual or whether you're just a dumb fuck, you all congregate together and you lose those sort of...
Is that just mob mentality?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly that's where the term came from. Page 54... In a crowd, the intellect and education of a man shifts from the individual to the mass. So, in other words, mob mentality then, I suppose. Page 77. When it is wanted to stir up a crowd for a short space of time, there is a need to follow three principles. The first one is affirmation. So in our case, it'll be an announcement of some kind of encouragement. Sam, what was your favourite sort of encouragement when you were sat in the crowd? What did you used to say? Shout at the top of your voice.
Oh.
Jesus. Well, that's where, as I say, you know, you can't put people into particular
mob mentality.
Yeah. The second point is repetition. The biggest influence that embeds it in our unconscious is the repetition of a term or a phrase. Not that particular one, but whatever it might be. It might be something like... Sorry, are you going to say something, Sam, or have you just fainted?
Well, I think everything you're saying here, I feel I can apply to Donald Trump stood in front of the...
That's right.
In Washington this time last year, yeah.
See, this is psychology.
Fake news, stole the election, fake news.
Yeah, and it's the thing that everyone remembers, so everybody else joins in, and that's how songs and things start off and so on and so forth. Because the third point is called contagion, which is basically our natural thing as humans is a tendency to imitate others, so we all join in. So now we've just read the book and we've picked out some pertinent points. Now we've got an understanding of the psychology of a crowd and the knowledge of the mechanics of it and how to initiate a response from the crowd, we should be able to turn this influence in our favour and use the crowd to influence the players, the referee and the game. So we can apply this system to generate a positive bias on proceedings and improve the chances of the Warrington team. Using the new...
By about 8 points.
Exactly. Maybe even more. So using the new Watt Bevin local audio baseline inducement announcer system, we should be able to turn a flapping crowd into a clapping crowd. Now, this is the suggestion from the Tackle Book section. Installed into Daryl Powell's glass elevator, previously known as Steve Price's twat cabin, whenever Daryl needs to... whenever Daryl needs to G up the troops, he can press the button and pump out a pre-selected tune. Now, in that tune can be mixed in a bunch of phrases, and in them phrases that it could be to influence and you know, sort of like G the players on. Now, the only bit of music I got was Radetzky's March, and we could all start clapping.
Right? And thank God he lost half of his script.
Thank God he lost half of this.
I'd lost a bit of the phrases, so I haven't got any. I was hoping that you could contribute. You got anything?
Nurse! Nurse! Give me my medication!
Well, anyway, once we've done that, we could get everybody working. That's my suggestion from Tackle Books. I do apologise, I've lost it. I can't turn the bloody music off. Anyway, that was The Psychology of Crowds by Gustave Le Bon. I think you'll find that Daryl could find a way, putting a button in there, getting the crowd on his side. What do you think about that, lads?
I think that you should continue to write your tackle bags.
Books. Rebadged.
Tackle books.
Books.
And then lose half of it, because that was the best one you've done for ages. So keep losing half of it every week.
In 1991, Kentucky Fried Chicken rebadged its name to KFC. Did you know that?
Did it?
The fast food outlet admitting it was an attempt to distance itself from unhealthy connotations to the word fried.
I just thought it was Carl Fitzpatrick Chicken.
The NRL bunker is equipped... The KFC NRL bunker is equipped with 22 different camera angles.
Right. Dear. It's a shame they'd be dead by the time they've had the chicken, though, wouldn't they? See them all.
The largest chicken in the world came from Russia. It weighed 4.5 stone. And a gentleman in Florida consumed 19 family buckets of KFC in one sitting, although Professor Broomhead denies being on holiday at Disney World at the time.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Right, well, it's on to the predictions. Two games to predict. And no, it's not deja vu. Why I will not be playing the same French team, but two different French teams back to back. First up, it's newly promoted Toulouse Olympique at the Halliwell Jones, and then Wyre travel to Perpignan to Joie Contre, Catalans. Now, before we come up with our predictions, lads, let's have a quick listen to the Watt Bevan panel and see what Hal's predicting this week.
Hello, my name is Halliwell Jones, but you can call me Hal. And no, I'm not named after Jerry Halliwell, although if I had to choose a Spice Girl, she'd be the one I'd have a crack at. Anyway, here are the analytical results from the bunch of norms that make up the Watt Bevan panel. Round 3. Toulouse 11. Warrington 41. Round 4. Warrington 16. Catalans 22.
Now, Alan London's not happy with the current way we're using the Watt Bevan panel. And I can see why, because Jake Lindsay at the disability team has gone for Toulouse 4. Warrington 104.
He's not been proven wrong
yet. Well, at least
yet.
Jake's got it the right way round, because you got it the wrong way round in the introduction, saying that Toulouse were at the Halliwell Jones and Catalan's game was away. But at least Jake's got it the right way round.
Is that a computer glitch?
Oh, hang on, hang on. I'm not letting that go in. I'm after that BBC job. First up, it's newly promoted Toulouse Olympique in France. And then Wire don't travel, but from Perpignan, Jules Contre Catalans come to the Halliwell Jones. I'll edit that in. We'll be fine, lads. No one will know the difference. Yeah, so he's not happy with the way the scoring system's been done. And his suggestion is, out of the 14 members of the panel, the lowest score and the highest score should be taken away.
Is that mode?
Oh, yeah.
Is that mode or median? Yeah.
Median, mean and mode. Do you remember that at school? Rob can tell us all. Yeah. He was very good at maths.
He's not a clue.
Anyway, Toulouse 11, Warrington 41 is what the panel's gone for. Sam, where are you going with this one?
I don't think that's too far away, really. I think we will win 8-2, thereabouts. So I'm going 46-12.
And how many more tries will Dennis Cartor, Steady Cartor's the car way well be scoring?
Oh, another two. I think it's going to be two per game, and then he's going to peak at around, he's going to peak at round three, I think, before we play Catalans.
I think they might be ticking me off, putting Thewlis on there.
Before we come on to Catalans, Dennis, Toulouse Olympique, or Toulouse's Olympique against Warrington, what are you going for?
I'd say something similar. I'd say, Warrington 36, Toulouse 8.
Okay.
About you?
Okay. I might go Toulouse 6, Warrington 56. I think we might actually come
using
up with a bit
the
of a
Jake
cricket
mathematical scale, are you?
Yes. Now, we've kind of played three games. We've gone away to Leeds, and we've played Leeds against 12 men and 11 men for most of the game. We've played a bum Lee Radford Catalans team at home, an easy victory against the Toulouse's. But this is the real test, Sam. This is the big one where we understand whether our pack is big enough to take on Catalans. How you see this one going, mate?
Yeah. I didn't watch much of the Dragons at St Helens, but what I did see, the two teams were really going at it, hammer and tongue.
High intensity.
Yeah. So I'm going to say we'll struggle a little bit. I think it'll be fairly close, but I think I've got to go with them 22-16, exactly like the panel has.
Yeah. Okay.
What about you, Rob?
Well, I'm not sure Catalans have the team to beat Saints in the grand final. And the reason being is, I think if you look at their spine, if you look at 1, 6, 7 and 9, they've got Tompkins at the back, Pearce and Drinkwater in the 6 and 7 halves, and then you've got McAlorum at 9. I don't think there's any pace amongst that four. And I don't think spine... It's okay to have two great players in your spine that lack pace, but you look at Saints' spine and there's speed out of three of them, apart from Roby, who's losing his speed, but then they've picked up that lad from Salford. So they will dominate against Warrington, and I think they will beat Warrington based on the premise of the pack. I also think it's great conditions to see what we're going to have to play in come the end of the year, because there's no doubt, I think during the... when we move into the drier months of June, July and August, Warrington are going to be very entertaining and win a lot of teams. But it's going to come down to a muddy, wet field in October at Old Trafford. And that's when we're going to be dominated. So I think we'll be dominated in this game. We just won't get the field possession because of that Catalans pack.
I think you bring up a good point there about the spine. But I'm not going to go into a rant. But I do feel that McLaurin at hooker is probably one of the most overrated players through his entire career. He continually fails to deliver when it matters because he just goes off on one and ends up getting sent off our band.
I also think they've got a bit of a weak link on the wing in Davis. Davis had the opportunity to get away against Saints and he's flat-footed. Percival caught him jogging alongside him And then he went and dropped the ball as well. So I do think he's a weak link. I would be trying to get the ball towards Davies because I think he is a bit of a liability in that Catalan side. They're trying to even out their salary cap.
And I think what it possibly comes down to is we've got to be at least when we're in possession in our own half, pretty much mistake-free. We can't be turning over cheap ball to them inside our own half.
I can't turn away from Daryl Powell at the moment. He's been very cooperative on WhatsApp. So I'm going to go Warrington 22. Stop laughing, Dennis. Catalans 18.
Good. I hope you're right. I do hope you're right.
Yeah. You're going to send it with that picture of Daryl on the cart before the horse.
Dennis, have you given us your prediction?
Yeah.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I thought, what did you go for?
Oh, is that dementia setting in again, Sam? I can't even remember what he said.
Dennis, am I correct in thinking that Dennis did not give his Catalans Warrington score?
I tend to switch off when Dennis... Oh,
fuck's sake. Oh, I think we'll win. Yeah, we'll win.
Yeah, he fucking didn't say it because I've just remembered now when he's come out with that bullshit.
26-18 will win.
Right. Can we have that in French, please?
Ah, 26, 21. That is it.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Thanks to all our new Patreon members that received the episode on Friday. To the rest of the free downloading scum, you'll get the episode on Monday. But you can subscribe to patreon.com/whatbevan. Shall I do the draw, lads? Just someone fill in while I do the draw.
Oh, right, okay. What are we going to fill in with? Oh, I'm not talking to you. You don't listen
why
to me.
Well, no. No, why don't you tell us what you've been drinking tonight, Dennis?
Oh, that's a very good idea. Tiger Gin, which has really kept me going through this podcast. And we'd be grateful of another 20 minutes. I think, in fact, if I just go on their website, Tiger Gin do various different sizes and different flavours of gin. You should check that out. Have we done the draw?
Which one was your favourite of the...
We've done the draw.
Which one was your favourite of the... Oh, right, OK.
We've done the draw. Right, so first of all, thank you for everyone who's joined Patreon. We've had a heap of people that have joined it. It's going to keep the podcast alive this year. It's going to help us pay off a few debts. The winner of week one's Tackle Books is Stephen Dawson. So I'll message Stephen Dawson and Dennis will get that in the post in about next 8 weeks to you. Right, so as the Wolves set to dine on French cuisine from our very own sous chef, it's an away and go from Sam.
Au revoir.
And from our chef de pâté, it's a duck à l'orange foul citrus smelling goodbye from Dennis. I'm Robert London, and it's an au revoir from me. You're waiting on Garçon. You've been listening to What with Brian Bevansay.
I used to go playing darts in when the French lesson was on at school, so I didn't really pay attention.
We had Mrs. Davidson, she was absolutely stunning.
Did you?
Well, I didn't have her. I didn't have her. Yeah. I'd have liked to have had her, but I had too busy with my French laboratory headset on to get anywhere near her.
How old were you?
13.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Bonkers.
I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I'm